Balls, Jackson Gale said. Look at 'em. They want to go down there. They actually believe in that new frontier crap the development company has peddled them. And we've got to spend the rest of our lives with these dickheads. Not me, Quinn said automatically. Yeah? Jackson grinned. If you're rich, how come you didn't bribe the captain? Have him drop you off at Kulu or New California? I'm not rich and I'm not staying. Yeah, right. After you finish your work time, you're gonna make it as some hotshot merchant. I believe you. Me, I'm gonna keep my head down, see if I can't get assigned to a farm for my work time. He winked. Some good-looking daughters in this batch. Lonely for them out there in their little wilderness homesteads. People like you and me, they start looking at us in a better light after a while. And if you ain't noticed yet, there ain't many I've at Thames. Quinn stared at him blankly. Work time? Yeah, work time. Your sentence, man. Why, you think they were going to turn us loose once we hit the planet? They didn't tell me anything, Quinn said. He could feel the despair opening up inside him, a black gulf. Only now was he beginning to realize how ignorant of the universe outside the arcology he truly was. Man, you must have pissed someone off bad, Jackson said. You get dumped on by a politico? No. Not a politician, someone far worse and infinitely subtler. He watched the last colonist family emerge from the airlock. It was the one with the terrified four-year-old girl. Her arms were wrapped tightly around her father's neck, and she was still crying. So, what do we do for work time? Well, once we get down there, you, me, and the other Ivets start doing 10 years hard labor. See, the Lalonde Development Company paid for our passage from Earth, and now they want a return on that investment. So we spend the prime of our life shoveling shit for these colonists. Community maintenance, they call it, but basically we're a convict gang. Quinn, that's what we are. We build roads, clear trees, dig latrines. You name it, every crappy job the colonists need doing, we do it for them. Work where we're told, eat what we're given, wear what we're given, all for 15 Lalonde francs a month, which is about $5 fusa worth. Welcome to Pioneer Paradise, Quinn. The McBoeing BDA 9008 spaceplane was a no-frills machine designed for operations on Stage 1 agrarian planets. Remote basic colonies where spare parts were limited and maintenance crews were made up of washouts and inexperienced youngsters working their first contract. It was a sturdy delta shape, built in a new Californian asteroid settlement, 75 meters long, with a wingspan of 60 meters. There were no ports for the passengers, just a single curving transport strip for the pilot. A fuselage of thermal-resistant boron beryllium alloy glinted a dull oyster in the sharp light of the F-type star 132 million kilometers away. Faint jets of dusty gas spurted out of the airlock chamber as the seal disengaged. Docking latches withdrew into the bulk of the starship, leaving the spaceplane floating free. The pilot fired the reaction control thrusters, moving away from the seamless curve of the huge starship's hull. From a distance, the McBoeing resembled a moth retreating from a football. When they were 500 meters apart, a second, longer burn from the thrusters sent the space plane curving down towards the waiting planet. Lalonde was a world which barely qualified as terra-compatible. With a small axial tilt and uncomfortable proximity to its bright primary, the planet's climate was predominantly hot and humid, a perennial tropical summer. Out of its 6 continents, only Amerisk in the southern hemisphere had been opened for settlement by the development company. Humans couldn't venture into the equatorial zones without temperature-regulated suits. The one northern polar continent, Wyman, was subject to severe storms as the hot and cool air fronts clashed around its edges all year long. Shriveled ice caps covered less than a fifth of the area normal for terra-compatible planets. The space plane sliced cleanly through the atmosphere, its leading edges glowing a dull cerise. Ocean rolled past below it, a placid azure expanse dotted with volcanic island chains and tiny coral atolls. Pristine clouds boiled across nearly half of the visible surface generated by the relentless heat. Barely a day went by anywhere on Lalonde without some form of rain. It was one of the reasons the development company had managed to attract funding. The regular heat and moisture was an ideal climate for certain types of plants, rewarding the farmer colonists with vigorous growth and high yields.